I use Undocu Talks for my classes. I give them the podcast, and then I have some like discussion questions.
Welcome to Undocu Talks. This is Alejandro Mendiaz, and I will be your host. This podcast was created by immigrant youth. We are committed to discussing important immigration topics surrounding news, culture, and education. On today's episode, Rosy Evelyn de Padilla will talk about activism, and we will also be providing coverage of Dream in Mexico's winter retreat in Guanajuato, Mexico, and talking about existence as resistance. Rosy, who was born in Veracruz, Mexico, holds a PhD in linguistics and is an international award-winning poet. Her work has been published in numerous journals and magazines and anthologies around the world. She has also received numerous awards and recognitions on a global scale. Rosy is also the president and founder of the Latin American Foundation for the Arts, the founder for the International Latin American Poetry Festival, as well as the founder of Jade Publishing. You may also remember Rosy as a contributor in our previous episodes.
Merriam-Webster defines activism as a vigorous action, especially in support of an opposition or one side of a controversial issue. And I was very interested in this because, you know, we hear that word very often, especially, you know, like nowadays with everything that's been going on with the current president, with a lot of efforts in the judiciary system. I was interested to see, you know, like how many people have Googled activism, like what it is. We understand what the word means, what the word activism means, but maybe we still don't know like the broad aspects of what activism entails, because I was all over the world, people are continuing their search for the meaning of activism, and the top searches were, what is activism? Plain and simple. Another one was social activism, just like that. First one is, what is activism? And the second one, what is social activism? Because you would think that they go hand in hand. What I think is that people are actually looking for a way to relate to the word activism. If we just close our eyes and think about what the first images that come to mind when we hear the word activism, what do you see? Like a person with a sign, probably, right? Or someone, you know, like in a protest, in a march or something like that. And I think that a lot of people don't relate to that because they've never probably experienced that or ever been in that position or had the opportunity to go to a march or to a rally or things like that. So I wanted to talk about how everyone basically can and actually is an activist in one way or another.
The following conversation between Rafael and Melissa will focus on defining activism.
So Rafa, how do you define activism?
I usually tend to think about activism in two different ways. One of them is direct activism, and this is usually defined as using your own physical body and mode of protest. An example would be doing demonstrations, doing sit-ins at somebody's office, in the street somewhere. Or the second one would be indirect activism. And indirect activism is more the traditional route. That's where essentially somebody's signing a petition, lobbying, using legislation. In other words, working within the system. And then we have what it's known as collectivism. And collectivism is the idea of clicking something online, posting something online as a form of activism.
Activism, the practice of using action to achieve a result, such as political demonstration or a strike in support of or in opposition to an issue.
So after listening to our conversation about the definitions of activism and hearing the Google automated voice, please share your ideas via hashtags, hashtag activism, hashtag clicktivism, hashtag undocumented, unafraid, and hashtag existence as resistance.
And now, a word from our partners.
DACA Scholars is the number one app used by Latino students across the country. Inside of DACA Scholars, you will find over 140 scholarships for both undocumented and DACA students, all the way from high school to a PhD level. DACA Scholars is absolutely free and available for all iPhones, Androids, and Windows Phone.
Hey y'all, I'm Rene Garcia, the host of Chubby Therapy, a show normalizing conversations about mental health. Join me, the Chubby Therapist, as we promote mental wellness with both clinicians and everyday people. We are unbelievably proud to collaborate with UndocuTalks, so please check us out on your favorite platform, and as always, remember to feed your mental health.
Saludos, familia. This is Christian, host and producer of La Verdad Podcast, a show where urban Latinos sit back and chat about current events, culture, and tradition. Our podcast also features interviews with other Latinos who are motivating and uplifting our community. So make sure to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as @LaVerdadLTD. Also, just so you know, our podcast is available on YouTube. Gracias y quien dijo miedo.
That was 1977 by Anna Tijoux.
To me, activism definitely entails an action. You are doing something. But the word concept of being an activist, to me, goes beyond having to actually go outside and protest for something. I think that a woman of color, I consider that my existence is a form of resistance. In continuing being who I am also being an activist. In writing my personal narrative, for example, I am being an activist. There are a lot of actions that we go through life experiencing and reacting to them that makes us activists in one way or another, even if we don't necessarily identify with that. And I think that a lot of people basically embrace the term activism if they were able to explore the different aspects in which they can contribute to a specific movement, for example, immigrants' rights, women's rights, LGBTQ, and so on and so forth. No me representas, no. Yo me represé, yo me represento hoy. Vamos a darle movimiento. En mi palabra y universo me represento yo. Me represento yo. Me represento yo.
We just listened to No Me Representas by Audrey Funk. Next, we will hear from Rafael and Melissa and their perspectives on existence as resistance.
The title of our podcast is Existence as Resistance, which is a strong and profound title. What does it mean to exist as resistance, Rafa?
That's a really good question, Melissa. And a few historical moments come to mind. Particularly, I'm thinking about the students in Mexico City during the Olympics in 68 that saw their existence as university students as a need to protest, as a need to create resistance for particular societal issues that were going on in Mexico at the time. Another one that comes to mind that's still historical but very recent is Ayotzinapa. The existence of these indigenous students for being indigenous themselves is the mere fact of their disappearance, but it's also their form of resistance. The way that we've seen people depict their bodies, depict the protests, has been very much about their existence as their form of resistance. And so I think what we're trying to get across in this episode is thinking about how do we think of ourselves, our bodies, our identities, our culture as that mere jump point for creating a movement or resistance. Melissa, you had a recent example to give us, and I think it had to do with the Lincoln Memorial.
In the recent news, there was a confrontation between the MAGA hat boys and Nathan Phillips, who was Native American. He was playing a drum to diffuse an argument between the boys and another group. And what's interesting about the event is how both parties are sort of talking about the event and also their reactions towards it. So in a recent interview, Nick Sandman, which is one of the boys that was wearing the MAGA hat, he said that he did not mean to be disrespectful to Nathan Phillips and that he doesn't believe he owes him an apology. And Nathan Phillips' reaction to the whole situation is that really he was just trying to diffuse the tension between the different groups, and he was actually walking towards the Lincoln Memorial. When we consider the way that activism works through this event, there has been a overpouring of reactions from the public on social media. And so you have seen a lot of people comment on what really happened or whose version is correct. And also you have noticed that people will do this, like we've mentioned before, right? The clicktivism. And they'll essentially want to kind of stack the narrative and understand what really happened that day and also and what really was the purpose of the reaction that both parties gave to each other.
A woman of color in academia and having to navigate into the different systems, first generation graduate university student, having now a PhD and looking back into all the information that I was not able to attain and navigating a system that is just meant for the status quo to survive, I really see that as a form of activism with my students, who most of them are first generation too. I see in them this potential for being activist in that sense, because every time that you see in a position, like for example, a professor or even a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, whenever you see yourself as an outsider and as another person of color, in that person, it validates your own existence and you're able to move forward with that. So I really see that interconnectedness with, for example, my students and being also a person of color, Latino, Hispanic. And then I also see, in the case of women, my women colleagues, I also see a very tight connection with them. We understand each other, even little things as having kids and having to take a maternity leave and things like that. We understand almost implicitly those kind of connections, I think, that really play a part into understanding how activism, it's all around us. We only need to be a little bit more conscious about it and more intentional with that.
This is poetry.
The skits that follow illuminate the day-to-day life of a first-generation woman of color in the U.S. Scene 1.
Melissa is going to talk to her white advisor to get direction on her PhD program.
So I had a question about how many credits I have as far as getting to graduate soon, because I wanted to take some classes to focus more on critical race theory and decolonization, but I'm not sure if I can take those classes or what you think I should do.
Well, I mean, you should really know how many hours you have. That's pretty basic. It should be on your transcript. But I'm not sure why you want to take those classes. That's not part of your major, so I'm not really sure how that's going to help your career.
If I want to take them and I feel like they're going to make my work a lot more critically aware, then how can you tell me that I can't take them?
I mean, if you want to switch your major to like critical race theory, that's fine. There's other universities where I'm sure they teach that. But here we're trying to focus on, you know, the real, just the core of English. And so that doesn't really have anything to do with the major, which we're trying to keep you on track to graduation.
So do you think I could have a meeting with my other professor so we can talk about what is the focus of my studies?
Well, I mean, the focus of your studies is pretty well outlined in your plan already. You already have your degree plan set. So I'm not really sure why you're trying to veer off course.
Off course?
Right. But because we already have the courses that we need you to take. And so by taking this, it's just going to add extra time to your curriculum. And, you know, I there's not really room for that. We're trying to get you to graduate soon here. Well, thank you for coming to meet with me today, Melissa. I hope you'll stay on an actual academic path. By the way, your earrings are beautiful. They're so ethnic.
This goes to show that the university definitely does not recognize that there are women of color that want to receive higher education, and also want to exist as resistance.
Act 2.
Melissa arrives at a coffee shop and spots one of her colleagues.
Hola, Melissa.
Melissa gives her colleague a baffled look as she thinks, why is she speaking to me in Spanish?
Hi.
How's your day going?
Fine, thank you.
So I was doing some research and we were talking about first generation students. Are you first gen or are you immigrant?
Why are you asking me this?
Curiosity.
Already annoyed by her colleague's initial comments in Spanish, Melissa proceeds to look away and not answer the question.
I got you a free coffee.
Her colleague, suddenly aware that she cannot white-splain the situation, proceeds to try to apologize by gifting Melissa a free coffee.
Being able to express yourself is an act of resistance. Being able to document what's happening in your surroundings, being able to describe the things that you are looking at, the way that you are looking at those things and how you reflect on the situations that are going on right now, it's activism. And you do it all the time. You do it when you post a tweet, when you share a Facebook post, when you take a picture and post it on Instagram. You are doing activism. You are existing in a world that is not necessarily the best place right now. And you are documenting all these things for future generations to reflect on that and to reflect on the struggles that we are overcoming. My poetry talks directly about living in the border with Mexico, of course. It really reflects on how growing up in a border town has shaped my identity as a writer.
That was Malamente by Rosalía.
In the words of Isabel Allende, it is a wonderful truth that things we want most in life are a sense of purpose, happiness, and hope are most easily attained by giving them to others. You are the storyteller of your own life, and you create your own legend, or not.
This poem is called Immigrant City. You howl madly, like the coyote that lost his prey. We are the invisible, don't look for us, because your gaze brings the curse of the return. We ate the footprints that showed us our way back home, so this hunger for future wouldn't make us halt our journey. You haven't offered us water since we arrived. We've had to quench our thirst with the honey of your mezquites, but the honey doesn't help. Our nights don't stop being bitter. You're fierce and deaf. Your hands build furrows over the vastness of our valleys, destroying, scorching, mutilating our bodies. You don't fear our cries. You don't understand them. Regardless of how much you dig, you cannot find our roots. But how can we sprout any roots if we don't receive from you a gentle touch? You have used our tears to fertilize our lands, and our harvest are men and women without wings. Nothing is set free with your orange trees. It is not the clouds of the sky that are seen by our eyes, but the infinite cotton we are picking with our chained hands. You're cold. You haven't offered us water since we arrived. We are surviving in secret, like mute, desert-like plants. But today we learn to quench our thirst with dewdrops of hope.
You just heard Poesía Venenosa by Rebecca Lane. In this next segment, Alejandro Arenas, the founder of Dream in Mexico, will take us to a retreat in Guanajuato.
The Dreamer Tour Guanajuato 2018 is a tour where dreamers from all over the country, from several states and several cities in Mexico, have been able to reunite in Guanajuato and sightsee very important cities and cultural areas in Guanajuato. But we've been also been able to share experiences and also create resources. Next year we could do this type of tour again in another region in Mexico, maybe in the northern part or the southern part, where there's several areas where dreamers can spend 3 days together and travel to several areas and create the resources. This is the first time that this has ever been done here in Mexico, this type of tour with dreamers where they're sharing experiences and basically living with each other for 3 days. We do hope that it's able to be done next year with our organization, with Dream in Mexico. We also welcome other organizations or other institutions that help dreamers and the migrant community. We encourage them to try to create these type of events because this is a great way to help the community of Mexicans that are returning to Mexico and that are being deported to Mexico.
Day one. Welcome to the promised land, San Miguel de Allende.
We're here in the offices of the nonprofit organization that's called Caminamos Juntos. They told us about what they're doing, how they're helping the deported and returnee community here in San Miguel. Everybody got to know each other. They introduced themselves. They talked for 3 minutes. But another thing that they also did was that they exchanged clothespins. These clothespins they brought from their cities. There's some people here from Tijuana and Sonora, Mexico City, Estado de Mexico, Guadalajara, several places here in Mexico. Each person that participates in this tour is going to create a manual, which is basically a resource. This manual explains a certain process that they've been able to figure out. They've been able to have success throughout the years in a certain type of subject, and now what they're going to do is they're going to write about it, and they're going to be able to make a Word document where they teach people about that process or about that subject. And that way we're creating a network, and we're also helping people with a resource, a manual that explains a certain process, like I mentioned.
It's something that all of us had to learn. Like, nobody told us how to do the things we did. Like, we had to learn it on our own. And I think if we can gather all of these experiences and help make life for other returnees much easier, I mean, it's going to be a smooth transition for them. With the political climate that's going on in the United States, something that maybe they once thought impossible could be possible, of them having to build a life in Mexico sometime in the future.
After introductions, it was time to hit the streets of San Miguel. The participants gathered to walk through the streets of Guanajuato, and they shopped and went sightseeing. As they walked through the cobblestone streets, many of the participants engaged in the daily life of Guanajuato. The lively music of the mariachis in the market spaces allows for a melodic and relaxing time. As they continue to walk, they're taken aback by the bright sun shining over the church, as many tourists and visitors admire the architecture. They even had time to play basketball together and get some much-needed exercise for the task at hand. They travel by bus, transportation provided by Caminamos Juntos, and visit other local shops that have beautiful artesanías from Guanajuato. Day 2, Guanajuato, el destino cultural de México. For the second day, participants of the program gather for a special event, a swap shop, where they exchange souvenirs from their cities of residence.
You can trade anything for whatever you want. If I trade a postcard for the tortillero, it's everything's fair game. You just have to agree.
One way tortilla holder?
Sure.
What would you give
me? The sticker.
Okay, among the different souvenirs in the swap shop are Lotería playing sets, sunglasses, pins, Tijuana Republic t-shirts, keychains. Each participant takes with them whatever they choose and are happy and grateful for the exchange. Yellow and orange painted walls adorn the walkways and the people who walk by as they make their way through the town. As they head down a narrow hill staircase, you can admire the murals that give the town its iconic artistic aesthetic. Alejandro Arenas points towards a stretch of stairs that divide the area.
¿Cómo que es? Los sentimientos nos hicieron que entendiéramos exactamente lo que
tenemos a veces las mismas necesidades.
Como el otro sentía. Entonces, como para mí, como ahora sí que inmigrante, retornada, es algo que yo no puedo compartir con alguna otra persona, como con mi esposo o con amigos, sino que ellos, o sea, ella entiende bien lo que es regresar, ese sentimiento, y pues yo no había conocido así a otro dreamer, o sea, sí tenía un amigo, pero a más personas no había conocido hasta ahorita este viaje.
Fue un momento
bonito porque se sentía como el cariño de las personas. Y eso que apenas nos conocemos, entonces hicimos un clic muy, muy rápido.
Day 3, la 18ª Fiesta Internacional de Globos, the 18th International Balloon Fiesta. During Day 3, the participants get to attend the second largest balloon fiesta in the world, which takes place in Guanajuato. They are able to see the fire from air balloons propel into the air as the morning slowly creeps through. As the multitude of people appear, the other balloons light up. A cow-shaped air balloon takes center stage. As the air balloons descend, the participants wait for the sky to be filled with all the air balloons. Many take pictures and selfies with their cameras, and the sky has never looked more fascinating to them until this moment. Now, the sky is filled with colorful air balloons. A robot balloon appears, and another that looks like the American flag floats through, as many swarm to take a quick snap of it. This experience will always resonate with the participants of the program, as they were able to witness a great and memorable event in Guanajuato. For a poetry break, we will hear Mariachi Sounds by Paola Monarres.
Oh, what beautiful music. Malagueña, amor eterno y volveré, the cure to my broken heart. A suture of music notes that stitch together lovers who grow apart. The sounds of trumpet makes my heart jump. High notes, notes that elevate my heart to where I belong. Paloma negra never sounded so beautiful.
Paloma negra, ¿dónde estará?
The cry of an aching love, calling back a love that left, jumping notes like my heart between borders. Feelings of nostalgia brings tears to my eyes. Sweet melodies surround a broken heart, a heart in love, a heart in pain, a heart that breaks at the sight of my mother's tears as she listens to Las Mañanitas on a cold November morning. The tears of my father as he serenades his oldest granddaughter as she turns 15. Longing pain of returning home. Mi querido viejo y mi linda esposa, a reminder of eternal love and extended romance. The sound of trumpets, my heart jumps in excitement. I am back, back to where I belong, in the sweet arms of my memories. El mojado a cada lado.
Adiós les dice el mojado.
The anthem of a trasera who at her death will be free to return home. Crossing the border will be between heaven and earth. Green landscapes filled with pine trees. The smell of sweet rain fills my lungs. I am back to my roots. I am back to where I belong. I am back to Parral. Landscapes filled with pine trees. The sweet smell of rain, a reminder of my abuelita's home. I am no longer an alien. The sound of mariachi drown my world of sweet melodies. Sounds of trumpets make my heart jump. México lindo y querido, I am back. I am home.
As always, UndocuTalks listeners, thank you for tuning in. This has been episode 1 of our third season. I'd like to give a special thanks to la doctora Rosy Evelyn Lima de Padilla for her contributions to this episode. I have been your host, Alejandro Mendiaz, helping with the production and comic relief of this episode, Rafael Martinez. We also had Froilán Orozco as our sound engineer, our scriptwriter was Melissa Noemi Garcia, and our creative team was led by Paola Monarres. Other UndocuTalks collective members include Frank Berlanga Medina, Julio Molina, and Nancy Canales. Remember to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at UndocuTalks, and shout out to our graphic designer, Jerry Mateo.
Jerry Mateo Designs. My job is to tell stories and communicate values through design. If you are interested in my work, follow me on Instagram at Jerry Mateo Design.
Last, but certainly not least, we would like to thank 89.9 KUNM, the radio station located at the University of New Mexico, for allowing us to use their recording studios for this episode. And please stay tuned for our next episode, which airs, as always, the last Monday of every month.